It's your boy Derek, the safety man. Got my eyes on the safety prize. Zero incidents, that's my aim.
Hell yeah.
Eliminating OSHA recordables, my friend. That's just the safety game.
Zero, baby.
Gotta pay attention, folks, to every sight and sound.
Situational awareness, y'all.
Cause danger's always lurking to put you and your boat.
Visit thehopnerd.com to see how Sam can help or email us at thehopnerd@gmail.com to secure Sam for your next keynote, workshop, event, or more.
On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, I sat down with my amazing friend, Steve Harvey, and not that Steve Harvey, but the other Steve Harvey, and we talked about creativity and the creative act and everything that's not safety. So let's just jump right into this. To another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at the Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Man, oh man, are you in for a treat today? We are joined by one of my BFFs, Stephen Harvey. How cool is that? I'm excited to get to share this episode with you. But before we do that, things were a little different at the beginning. So maybe let's talk about that. And I shared that because of today's topic. We're talking about getting creative. We're talking about the creative act and inspiration and being wacky and being funny and having fun and all of those different things. So I had to share with you Daryl, the safety man's latest track. If you don't know who Daryl is, make sure you go over to LinkedIn and you scroll back through those posts and you take a look at some of the videos that I've been sharing. And the easiest of peasiest ways to do this is just to go follow along on Instagram at The Hop Nerd. If you just search The Hop Nerd, you will see my ugly mug and you can follow along. And there you go. It's right there for you. That's a great way for you to get up to date on who Daryl is and what he's got going on. But that's his latest country western track. He's got one more, and I've got a feeling he's going to keep producing more and more and more music, whether we like it or not. I just felt that it was appropriate to share that with you since it comes up during our conversation. But I will tell you, the music videos that he's putting out, I won't say that they're good, but they're something. They're definitely something. So go check it out. You can also follow along with Daryl on Instagram. I think it's at Daryl the Safety Man. I'm going to look on my phone while I'm talking to you. So if it sounds like I'm rambling, it's totally because I'm definitely rambling while I buy a little bit of time because I'm scared to death of dead air because you're just not supposed to have dead air when you're on a podcast. So there we go. Safety Man Daryl. There you go. Safety Man Daryl. Daryl with two R's and two L's. And you can follow along with him directly, even if you don't want to follow along with everything that we've got going on. A little bit of cold brew over on the main Hop Nerd page. Huh. So other than that, follow along everywhere that you can follow along. YouTube is a great choice these days. I'm pumping in a bunch of videos over there. LinkedIn is always a great choice. Instagram, as I mentioned, the cool thing about Instagram at the Hop Nerd is that I share everything, pretty much everything there first. So it's there. It's YouTube. It's the platform formerly known as Twitter, X, when I feel like sharing over there. And then it's LinkedIn. So if you're only following on LinkedIn, boy howdy. I think that's a saying. You're missing out. So go check that out. And then other than that, if you need a hand with anything before the end of the year, I mean, this is pretty much it. We're right there. You know, I've got a little just things here and there, a couple days here and there, but that's about it. And even moving into January, January is already starting to get some time on those books. If you have a specific date in mind, get in touch sooner than later, thehopnerd@gmail.com. And with all of that said, I always forget the really big things. The Starting Points app is out there. How cool is that? It's out there. It's available in the Google Play Store and for iOS over in the Apple App Store. Yeah, just search it, the Starting Points app. Just search Starting Points, or you can go to startingpoints.app and grab it. It's easy peasy lemon squeezy. You download it, you sign up, and boom, you've got the Operationally Curious card decks on your phone. There's one deck on there right now. And I guess before we jump over into Steve's episode, hold on more. You guys know I've been getting over this crud. Before I let you go and jump into this episode, I do want to share with you that we're already working on Rev 2. I guess it's V2 in the app world. Some of what we're doing is we're going to be adding in more card decks. So there's going to be about 3 or 4 card decks total once this new version goes through. It should be in Q1 of this upcoming year, early in Q1. We're continuing to tweak and modify some of the features, just making it more and more and more and more seamless and easy as we can possibly make it. And then we're going to be adding in one of those kind of normal appy things, you know, where you download it and you get access to some of the cards and like some of those things without joining. And yeah, you know, just we're appifying it that much more. But tell your friends about it. Tell your family about it. It's out there. It's super duper useful and an easy way to get our famous, now famous, that's crazy to say, at least our best selling Starting Points cards in your hands, in your employees' hands. And it's an easy peasy way to scale it through your organization without having to order like pallets of Starting Points cards. And that's kind of cool. But many of the organizations that I spend time with, y'all, they're using both. They like both and they are digging it. We've got a lot of really good feedback, not only obviously on the cards. They became best-selling cards. Weird, right? Just they're useful. And the app is that much more useful, that much more handy. So startingpoints.app and startingpointcards.com to pick up physical card decks. Okay, now with all that out of the way, let's just jump right on in. Here is me hanging out with my good friend, Steve Harvey. Here we go.
I have to say, you do look spectacular. I kind of feel a bit underdressed. If I knew you were going to come on like some kind of John Wayne, I would have put a hat on and my flannel jacket thing.
Well, I think to acknowledge your compliment, I'm supposed to do this. I think that's the right move, right?
Yeah, not doing that, just like, yeah.
You do like a little kind of that, right?
I don't know. I'm from the city, man. I don't know any of these cowboy tricks.
Well, so I technically live. I live in the Wild West nowadays. Where I grew up in the mountains, right? And then at some point, people along the way decided that they would adopt like Western clothing. I think it was like the Nashville influence, country music influence. But this was never a thing where I grew up, you know. And it's not as big of a thing in Arizona as I think maybe in places like Texas or something like that. But it's
when I grew up in Glasgow, they used to call it the Wild West. Hence the reason why I live in Australia now. That's a different kind of Wild West.
Different kind, right? Yeah. Well, but you know, as we were getting things set up, I had to put this on because I've been wearing it most of the day. Because I'm now, I'm supporting a country western artist now, right? In their journey from safety to country music. So I've got to pull off the look, right? If I'm gonna do the thing.
Well, I think actually music is a good way of getting your safety messaging across. Yeah. Like I've been using this AI product, and basically, if I've listened to a webinar or something, or I've been somewhere, I make lots of key points, and then I'll put it into the AI tool and say, create me a song in the style of, I love George Michael, right? I think it's pretty well known that I love George. So create it in the style of George, And it'll create it. Sometimes it'll say, oh, no, I can't do that because of license details. But then if you go on Google and say, what is the genre of, I don't know, say, like George Michael or disco music or funk or Jamiroquai or whatever, any of those artists you like, and yeah. you put it into the AI tool, it'll create it. And then it's just brilliant. And I think it's a great way of shifting yeah. the message, mate. And, you know, it's like something I'm pretty passionate about, how we can change the way we get these messages across. So I'm all on that train of just trying to do something a bit different. A pity we're not all the same, but mind you, would we all want to be the same?
Well, no. And so to kind of kick us off in that direction a bit, we're talking creativity today, and I guess creation and inspiration and kind of all those different things. My only rule for myself is to not talk directly, at least, about anything safety differently, hop, insert, any of those things here during the episode. That's on me. I think you're going to do a lot better at it than I am, because I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to be like, because it's mostly what we talk about, right?
Do we hold each other cyberly accountable?
I think so. I think if I say too much hop stuff, you should cyberbully me. I think that's...
Sam, that is not what we are here to chat about. But mate, I'm actually super excited to talk to you about this stuff, because creativity and, you know, innovation is just something that it's one of my highest values, mate. And I really love it, and I really love getting inspiration from everything that's happening around about us and work, and then, and then creating something with it, even if it's just a dumb meme, or like, I'm really getting into videos and that now, as you can probably tell. It's something. Well, you're the main man for the videos.
I don't know about that. I just have fun, man. I think that's where I want to start, right? Because we were chatting, not to give too much of our super secret personal conversation away that we're having before we started. But this kind of creation.
By the way, you should go to the doctor and get that checked out, man.
Yeah, I know, right? I've got it scheduled for tomorrow. I did the blood work last week, but I've got to finish it up, you know. But I don't think that you see that level of creativity in our community. It's not the norm, I guess. There's a lot of creative people out there doing a lot of interesting things, but I would call you off normal, Steve. That's probably what I would call you. So I think that's where I want to start, is to lob a question at you, is how does a super, obviously super creative person deep into music, and I would assume that you were probably deep into all other kinds of forms of creation. You're probably into art. You're probably into food. You're probably into all those different mediums. I know that you're into stand-up, which I want to get to at some point in a little bit. But as that higher plane creative person, how do you find yourself in one of the starchiest, stodgiest professions on the planet?
Jeez, man, that is a great question to start off with. In terms of how I got into this kind of work, well, I got into this kind of work the same way as most of us get into this kind of work. It sort of just fell into my lap, and it was something I've always wanted to do. It was just sort of happened to me. Something that I always wanted to do, though, was I always had the dreams of being a pop star. Yeah. That was my dream, right, when I was young. Yeah. So I used to sing in pubs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but I wanted to be a punk rocker. You know, yeah.
Well, for, I don't even know who I want to be. I just know that I wanted to be a musician. And I think I still do, Sam, if I'm being honest. Like, I think that's the reason for all these videos and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that was my dream. But unfortunately, my dream wasn't paying my bills. Mm. So I ended up being an auto mechanic, which sort of shattered my dreams. And then over time, I ended up in safety. But it's just, mate, to be honest, it's just really been the past few years that I've thought, how can we do something different here? How can I get my message across better? And really, that's where it's come from. And obviously, the tools to be creative, it's so easy now. You know, you do some of these things, some of the software that you can use, even if you don't think you're creative, then you can get inspiration from others. You can get you basically steal.
And
then your own spin on it. But yeah, mate, that's basically how I started to get into this stuff. It was just because I'm lazy.
No, I mean, what I'm really hearing is, you know, I think your story is similar to most of us that end up in that space, whether it was most of it wasn't by design, right? I mean, you kind of fall into an opportunity a lot of times with those things. That's changed a bit nowadays, I think, probably more than when we first started kicking around in it. But I think your story is really similar to mine, is that you kind of always had that piece there that might have even been the largest piece. Right. That creativity, that creation thing that you want to be doing, whatever it is that you're working on. But when you get to work, I know personally, I was kind of always squirreling that away. I was always kind of like, no, it's very buttoned up here. We can't laugh at work. My God.
Yeah.
Like, no, like we can't, like, it's got to be in the, don't get creative. Don't get too creative. Don't make any waves. Just, you know, stay in that kind of box. Right. So what I'm really hearing from you is that you moved into that profession. You had your dream shattered by becoming a mechanic, as you put it. But you found your way into this profession. And then along the way, you rediscovered that bit of creativity. You rediscovered that kind of fire to make stuff and to make people laugh and to make cool stuff and all those, whatever, right? You found your way back to it. And then you found that, wait a second, I can actually do both of these things at the same time. And not only that, but become a standout because I'm bringing that bit of a creative edge into, especially a profession that's not known for its creativity. Yeah, and it's not known for its style.
Yeah. Definitely, mate. There's been a few times. I still, even now though, I still have these doubts. Like I see something and I think, oh, I'm going to post that. That's hilarious. But you still have these niggling doubts like, oh, am I going to cop a bit of grief for posting this? And I have done in the past, actually.
Yeah.
Ironically, the biggest amount of impressions that I get from my LinkedIn posts or my Instagram posts is when I'm posting something a bit funny and a bit different. But yeah. I've certainly had a few private messages from folk telling me that I should be taking this a bit more serious and I just respond in kind, saying thank you for the feedback. I really appreciate it. But my sort of go-to rule, mate, is if it makes me laugh, Sam, then I figure it might make other people laugh as well. So that's why I sort of throw it out there and have a go.
Well, I was having a similar conversation with myself the other day. So I get up in the mornings, right, and based off of what I had going on the night before, work sometimes I operate across time zones, as you know. We coordinated this thing pretty seamlessly, I might add. Let me do a, like, I'm not good at that, so I'm gonna call that more luck than good.
I think it's because you've been excited to talk about something different though.
Well, I'm excited. Let me reprioritize that a bit. I'm gonna say I'm excited to talk to my buddy and we're gonna talk about something different. And somewhere between, I don't know, this one might be above talk about something different, maybe right below, but I get to wear a badass cowboy hat while I'm doing it. So I don't know, you know, buddy first, but those two might, you know, change up somewhere kind of down along the way. But I was walking on the treadmill the other morning and I was joking because I do have this. I pulled this out of the closet. I had to buy this for a wedding at some point. That's Arizona problems. I mean, it was mandatory to attend the wedding. But I pulled this out of the closet because I'd been recording those stupid parody country western songs, right? And for folks that haven't seen that, it's about Safety Man Daryl. And he's a safety guy and he's wanting to, you know, bridge over into becoming a country western troubadour. You know, that's like his he's ready for it, right? And it is just that like corny, cheesy American pop country, barbecue stains on my t-shirt, driving a John Deere tractor kind of style of, you know, country music. But I'd recorded some of it, and then I was on the treadmill the other day, and I just recorded another one where he's kind of that alter ego, right? It's the kind of the opposite of where most of us think around safety. He's like that guy, right? He's like the sore thumb sticking out, and everybody trying to do things a bit differently. I just made one about the cop romper, right? Where if you're ever in the field and you need to quickly change from your work clothes into your police uniform, your safety cop uniform, cop romper, right? But I'm on the treadmill the other morning. It's like 6 a.m, right? And this is going to sound super corny, but I get my coffee. I'm on the treadmill. I'm walking. I've got a flip chart up across the garage, like my treadmill's in the garage, it's across from it, and I write stupid stuff on it, you know, when things come to mind. Mm-hmm. Usually like those generic inspirational quotes of the day when I'm feeling a little blue or something like that.
Apathetic affirmations.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah, yeah. Why try? You just suck anyways, right? I love those things. Those things
yeah, me too.
You failed miserably, but you always do. That's like one of my favorite Instagram pages ever. But I'm sitting there thinking and I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I'm really comfortable putting this stuff on Instagram. I'm really comfortable uploading this stuff to YouTube. But then I'm sitting there thinking, I'm having this dialogue with myself in my head. I'm like, I don't know. Is this a bit too far to some mm-hmm. of that conversation you were just having? Is this a bit too far for stuffy old LinkedIn, right? If I put up this video of Daryl yelling at me dressed as a woman, for those of you that don't know, because she's rocking around the Christmas tree and he screams at her because she needs to be doing a risk assessment first and slowly walking around the Christmas tree instead of rocking because that's unsafe. And it cuts to Cop Romper or it cuts to Daryl singing about the Safety Man song, right? Is that too far, right? Is that too far? And it just kind of hit me all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And this is, I'm not the person for people to take advice from, but if I were to plant something in your brain, at least the thing that came to me was that, excuse me, but fuck it. Just full sand, fail, hate, whatever, blood and guts on the sidewalk. If you're happy with it, just full sand. If it made you giggle, just full sand. Who cares? People that are going to get offended, they're going to get offended by anything that you post. They're going to get offended because it has nothing to do with what you post. They just... they're going to get offended by everybody.
Yeah, I've got better at that, mate.
Yeah.
Like in times that I would have posted stuff in the past and then just went, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to delete that.
Yeah, me too.
But you put it on Insta and it goes gangbusters.
Yeah.
But I had this one, this apathetic affirmation, I call them. And I've got a whole heap of these. In fact, I've only ever posted one on LinkedIn and it got a massive amount of like impressions and that's shares cool. and comments yeah. and that sort of stuff. But I was like, oh, because of this sort of negative feedback I was getting from the messages, I was like, I wonder if I should do that again. But they're so good, mate. They make me chuckle and laugh. So I'm going to definitely, maybe like New Year's resolution, throw some more of them up. I'm definitely going to put them on the YouTube channel that I've got now as well. And do you know what? If it generates a conversation, positively, negatively, whatever, let's go for it. But most of the time, like the feedback is amazing that I get from this stuff. And it must be the same for you as well, mate.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I'm curious about your note-taking though, Sam. Because I know for me, and this is important for everybody listening, by the way, like if you don't write that down right away, those ideas, you're losing them. I promise you, I've had stuff that I thought this is going to get me to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and I've clean forgotten about it. So I never use my phone and use like my notes and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's a couple things here because I am a scribbler, I'm a journaler, I write a bunch. There's always like 16 Microsoft Words open with like all kinds of stuff scribbled in it. But I think the thing that I found, especially tying it into creation, right? There's always something that stuck out to me. I think it's from Stephen King. And his quote was, somebody was asking him about, you know, your notebooks, like when you write, like where do you put your ideas and what do you do with it? And his response was basically this: your notebook is where great ideas go to die. So if you really love it, if you really think it's like the best idea ever, why are you waiting?
Why are you waiting?
And that like set my head on fire at the time because and I still do it. Don't get me wrong. This is not saying you should not write stuff down in notebooks. This is not saying that, oh man, I've got like 14 meetings today. I probably can't do this right now. I'm going to put this over here on the post and I'm going to do this one tomorrow. And it's not saying don't do any of that stuff. That's not what it's saying. But his real point there really stood out to me. It's the reason why last night. So like I was talking about Daryl and his stupid song. I literally recorded that last night between the hours of 4 and 7 p.m. because I'm like, he needs to sing a country song. And so I posted it literally at the time of recording. I posted it today, but it hit me at like 4 something. I'm sure Jarrell loved this, that he's like sitting out here. I've got the door locked and I'm like, I'm here on in the recorder and playing with auto tune and screaming these stupid song lyrics into this microphone. And then out in the garage on the green screen wearing a romper. Right.
You've got a good voice, mate. I have to say.
That's the auto tune. That's all the auto-tune, just to let you know. And everything's funnier with auto-tune, right? Like, you got to throw a little auto-tune on it. But, yeah, I think for me, I journal and I plot and I plan a bit if I have some really cool ideas. A lot of places where I'm putting them now, I get those, like, airport enlightenments, you know, where I'm like, oh, you know, because you're stuck in the airport. So notes, like, on my phone. I put lists, like when I'm thinking, like, okay, what videos? Let me come up with 20 ideas, and then from that, I might pull out 5 that I really like, right? And then it's not that the others go in the trash heap; they're just not right now moments, you know. It's just like, yeah, these are kind of the same. I'll see that a lot where I have like 5 ideas, but they're all kind of the same thing, and I'll drag those into. So, what about you? When you're coming up with these cool ideas, what's that look like on your end?
Well, like I say, sometimes I never used to write this stuff down, and I got so frustrated. But I'd done a stand-up comedy course, and the girl says you have to have something with you every single time, because these ideas will just spring up on you when you least expect them. And now that I'm more attuned to this, that's exactly what happens. So if I go to there's many times I've been to the gym. You might not think it, you know, but there's many times when I go to the gym, I'll be on a treadmill or I'll be on like some kind of machine, and I'm like, oh, I have to stop. And I run to my phone because I'm not one of these guys that sits in front of the machines with my phone for about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, like I leave my phone at the side, but I'll run over and put notes in. But the other night there, I was actually looking through some of my notes. So I have like safety comedy notes, and then I have comedy writing, and like I have all these other things that I just put all this notes in. And I looked through my safety comedy notes. Oh, mate, I was chuckling. I was having a good chuckle to myself, you know, and I was like, this stuff is great. So it's really good. Even if you put I've had things in there that have been in there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I sometimes start at the bottom and then work my way up and then I laugh. But creation comes from walking, cycling, listening to my mates talk.
Yeah.
You know, quite often I'll hear somebody say something funny in a pub and I'll go, oh, hang on a minute. And I'm going to write that down because that's funny.
Yeah.
And like, well, if you get rich, we want some cash. Like, you know, I'll change it efficiently enough.
There you go. Yeah, it's an investment, right? I think you're right. There's this thing. I've heard a bunch of folks talk about it like this, but there's this thing when you can kind of find yourself in some bit of I won't call it stillness, but you're turning off the noise, right? You're turning off the noise. Hanging out with your buddies is a way of turning off the noise. My brain is constantly firing. I think most of us in this world, we experience something similar. I don't know if we want to call it undiagnosed ADHD, because I know that's part of mine.
I think so for me too.
It's like I'm constantly like fidgeting and moving and doing stuff and doing stuff and doing stuff, that it's hard to get those thoughts to connect. But as soon as I find a moment of stillness, whether that's outside on my – and it is crappy. It is like a very vintage treadmill in my garage. Or I go out and I get on the skateboard and me and Avery go around the block or go for a walk or go to the gym. Or even when I just – the worst part for me is that it happens when I lay down, like when I go to bed, right? That kind of move. And so notebook by the bed is a good pro tip for turning that off, by the way. Because it's not just creative ideas. It's crap, I forgot to. You just jot it down and it kind of leaves your mind a bit that way. But you find that moment of stillness and it's almost like you plug into, I won't call it a higher power, but it's like you almost plug into like this collected consciousness, right? It's like the ideas aren't born here. It's almost like you pluck them out of the air.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, aha. And you grab that and you hold it and you polish on it a little bit and you're sitting there thinking, and then you're like, oh shit, it would be really funny it would be crazy if I could just hard cut there. And then and you've got to do something with that, right? I think what you said, that stuff like that, that it took me a long time because I wasn't just nowhere near used to thinking that any of these wacky thoughts that I had could become something. So I would like get it, I would chuckle at it, and then I would just let it float away. I'd just let it go. You know, but then now as, and I would like to hear how that's been for you, especially after that, that class, but realizing that all those little like self chuckle moments can be something more than just me laughing at it. Where it's like, yeah. if I'm laughing at that and I'm observing this, I'm seeing this, I'm onboarding this, and then I'm taking that and spinning that up. Like I'm like this wacky interaction that I watched at the airport. I just gave both of these people complete backstories. I just built out their characters in my head, like where they're going, what they're doing, what they're having for dinner. Why would I not turn that into something? Why would I just use that as my own little moment of comic relief? Why would I not do something more with it?
Yeah. Well, mate, this is you're bang on about the airport, right? Now, anybody can be funny, and I mean it. Even the most boring people that you know can be funny or find the humor in something. Anything that we can all connect to, there's humor in it. So you talked about the airport. You guarantee there's something crazy and banal that drives everybody mental. If you bring that to life, that's a cool story, and people will go, that's happened to me. So there's humor. So find the humor in everyday life. I think that's when you ask people, you know, hey, you know, what's the crazy stuff that we do in this office or whatever, and then you start to. People will start to go, when you have to do this with a printer, or when you have to do this with a kettle, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whenever there's multiple people saying the same thing, there's humor in it, and you have to find it. But going back to the note taking thing, I always remember I've done a few comedy classes. I'm being honest, I've done improv classes and all that too. And it's quite funny, mate, because I finished my degree and I was looking for something else to do. So I thought human factors, psychology, and I'm really interested in marketing. I thought, how can I do that? And then that comedy class came up and it really took me on a different direction. Now I'm not really that much interested in going for the degree now. I'm just doing these short courses in acting and improv and that sort of stuff. But there was a guy there, and I always remember he said, it's a mindset. So he had in his passport that he was a comedian. Now, I'm not at that space, or I wouldn't want to do that yet. But my mindset is always, I'm hilarious. And I actually have little notes to myself saying I'm funny, you know, I am creative. Yeah. So it's just that mindset again, you know, it's just so you're always in the moment and you're always ready to pounce. And when I run the book club with Josh, people will quite often say to me, oh, you're so quick-witted, you know, like you bounce back pretty quickly. And I think that's, again, it's just that mindset of always being on, always being ready to come back with some quip. Or I'll keep notes, or I'll hear somebody talking and I'll write something down, and then I'll come back to that as a callback sort of thing. Like, and that's always funny too. That's when you have that shared moment of people remember something funny from earlier in the meeting. Yeah. Then you have that shared moment of callback. But yeah, mate, I think it really is underutilized, isn't it? It's like a skill. Humor really is a skill that's just not used enough, particularly in our line of work.
I think that everybody can be funny. I don't know. I don't know if there's definitely, you know, there's definitely people that I would say are kind of more born funny, right? They're kind of born for it. Just kind of those comedic geniuses, right, that you just see that elevate. And I'm just talking general stand-up comedy right now, right?
Yeah.
You just see those folks that are just those amazing folks that are just they're just oozing hilarious, like, out of every pore of their body. But I think what you said is there's, like, there's a skill. There's a trade to be learned there. And there's so many of those things that I think – should move deeper into the way that we generally talk. I'm going to use one of my words here, safety. I've allotted myself five. that we should draw in. You know, you mentioned callback. Like that's such an essential easy public speaking skill of just the callback, right? Just a very easy little tool that you can use. You know, I really like that Carlin style of list, keep going, right? And then really, really drilling down, especially on really, really bright spots of absurdity, right? In a practice, in the way that we approach certain things. I really like highlighting absurdity by taking it to its most extreme thing, right? And that's just a tactic, right? It's just a tool in your little tool belt of going, well, yeah, that's kind of dumb, but what we're really saying is this, but what that really means is this, and what that really means is this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And look back at that chain and see how stupid we've all been, right? I really, and it's funny at the same time, right? It's a way to have that really, really, really maybe painful conversation without being so painful, right? Making it actually, well, let's laugh at ourselves because yeah, that's really stupid. We did all that, but look at the way he talked about it. It's way funny. And it really brings it to light that, oh, wait, that's when we say that, that's what we really mean by that. That's kind of weird. Not good, but ha ha ha. Right?
Yeah. Right? And actually, you know, mate, talking about, you know, like being able to have conversations with people, I know I've been successful. If I go into a workplace and I'm getting invited in and people say, hey, come and have lunch with us or come and have a, and it's because I've been taking the mickey out of folk or I've been using my humour to engage and connect. And that's why I think it's another important skill to have, you know, just be human, man.
Yeah.
You know, let's be human. And sometimes we can be really guilty of just losing that human touch.
Well, you said something really important. You know, you're talking about kind of always being on, right? And you're like, I'm on, and I'm energized by this stuff because I'm in it and I'm on, whether it's having a conversation at a book club or you're at a meeting or, but it, what I think where I really get to that, what I really pull out of that is there's this thing about when you're always on, but on is authentically you. You're never exhausted by it because you're just being yourself.
Yeah.
If you find yourself going, oh God, I just got to turn it off, you're probably running into an authenticity problem, right? You're probably kind of slipping into a little bit of a mask over there going, okay, hold on. Let me turn off Sam for this situation and turn on really professional business Sam for this situation. And then I get through that. I'm like, God, I'm so tired. I need a nap. Yeah. For me, I've always found that it's like, oh, wait a second. I'm not living up to what's authentically me. Yeah. And you know, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing in a world that doesn't always appreciate when you're authentically you.
Not in the line of work that we work in.
No. Yeah, you've got to really just be willing to ride that one out, right? You got to be like, like it. Yeah, I mean, choice is yours, but you know,
like, fun is one of my highest values. Like, I will try and find the humor and fun and everything, but sometimes obviously you do need to tone it down, and you do need to sort of, obviously if it's some sort of traumatic event or something like that, you definitely have to sort of wind it down. But yeah, I know what you mean about being that authentically you, and I probably think that's probably why I don't have like a director of safety role or something like that, because I'm human, I'm too human.
Yeah. I feel like people like us, Steve, I think we're way too authentic to get into the politics of what a director of safety role would take. I mean, I would have a better shot of running for president, I think.
Yeah, probably. Actually, that's one thing that people have often said to me is that I wear my heart on my sleeve. Which I think translate to I tell people what I think.
Yeah, of course.
And that sometimes
that doesn't play well
in a political space. Sure.
Yeah. Well, there are worse things to say about somebody, right? I mean, that's for sure. I think I'd rather be known, right? When you get to the end of it all, and you're thinking about what they're going to hammer under your gravestone, I think I'd rather be known for, like, you know, Sam said some dumb stuff, but he was always kind of kind of funny and told the truth, or at least what he thought about it. I'd much rather have that than line sack of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
I'd rather have that than set on the fence. Split both sides.
Right? Yeah, and actually, you're getting me thinking now. You know, maybe that's I wonder how many people have like fun or joy and that is their highest values, and they're probably just not living them in some of these safety roles that they've got.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, probably none. If I had to venture a guess, most don't even include something like creativity or innovation. So I couldn't imagine that they would get so liberal as to say people should have joy at work. I'm sure there's some, somebody's going to send me a hate mail, be like, "Our says that." And I'll be like, "Cool, send it to me. That's neat. I want to brag about it." But I've never seen it. I've never seen that, right? Where it's like, yeah. Hey, you know what? You spend a good chunk of your life here. Maybe you should smile a bit. You know, that's kind of cool.
I mean, I've started, because now I've really started tapping into it. Like I have actually seen using some of these comedy tools work for me. So now I'm reading up on it now, and now I'm researching it, and I'm constantly listening to podcasts. I follow people now on LinkedIn, and I'm surprised that more organizations don't tap into this. But I just kind of feel it's a work that we do, mate. I've actually had this conversation with someone before, and they said you don't take it seriously, and I was like, I totally disagree. Like I do. I don't take the rubbish stuff seriously.
That's what I was going to say.
Fatality prevention and serious risk, and I'm all in.
Well, I think there's something to be said there because I'm with you. I would argue that we take it way more serious than someone that refuses to be real about it, right? I think that pretending that serious means suit and tie proper, that's just a ridiculous argument, that because the way that you talk about it isn't wearing a flannel shirt and a cowboy hat and talking about comedy, talking about creation, just because you do it in a suit and tie and, put fancy pants corporate logos on stuff, how does that make it any more serious or less serious than the conversation that we're having right now? I don't think that it does, right? That's to me, and this is just where my brain goes back to, you know, how you get over some of that fear, because there is fear. I have a ton of fear and stuff that I post. How you get over that is, it's just like, well, wait a second, that's just somebody being a judgmental asshole. Like, and if they want to do that, even if they feel that they're doing it from a place of love, that's still just judgment. Right. It's just judgment. And if you
put yourself
into the world, you are going to be judged. It's just how it is. The good, bad, in between. I think that we've taken it too far, especially in the corporate world, with this idea of like feedback is always a gift. Okay, it's always a gift. It doesn't mean it's always valid, though. Right. We take any bit of feedback that comes into us. Oh, they didn't like it, or oh, they really disliked it, or they told me that it wasn't good, or it's just somebody's opinion. It's all it is. And I think that goes back to that idea of when you create stuff, you should never, and this is not coming from my brain. I shared with you when me and you're catching up before that one of my favorite books over the past couple of years has been The Creative Act by Rick Rubin. And a piece that really, really stood out to me, it's a very quotable book. So if you're looking for a place to get really, really, if you need a reservoir of hippity dippity fancy sounding quotes, that is the book. But he was talking about how the last person that should be on your mind when you're creating something is your audience. That is the last person that should be on your mind, because if you are creating something based off of how you think people will react to it, you are being inauthentic, period. If you are creating something for someone else, that is the definition of inauthenticity.
We know what you're trying to say. We know what you're
too much coffee, man. Jesus, I'm getting pumped. But you are not being real at that point, right? Yeah. So if you are creating something because it brings you joy, because it makes you chuckle, and you are putting all that you have to put into it, and you are creating it with good intent, whatever, you know, you are going down that path of like, this is mine and I'm proud of this. The audience, whoever you're putting it out in the world for them to view, they should be the farthest removed from your mind during the act of creation. You can use the audience afterwards as a tool.
Yeah.
But that's not who you're doing it for. And I think that's the struggle that a lot of, it's not just our profession. I think anybody that's creating stuff, that's a trap that I would fall into, you know, of like, oh man, I would have a couple people pop to mind and be like, oh, you know, it's like, well, wait a second. I'm not doing this to please them. Like I'm not going out looking for approval. That's not what I'm doing. Right. And you just have to put that clean break somewhere there if you're going to be making stuff.
It's hard, mate. Though. That is hard. Like I say, it's funny. I was looking through my Instagram yesterday. And I found it yesterday. Do you remember George W. Bush, the guy threw the shoe at?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I made a video
of that. Iconic moment of American politics. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to send it to you. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a couple of years ago I made this video. And I had it yesterday. And I was like, oh, I wonder if something like this would go on LinkedIn. I was just like, nah, do you know what? Nah, I'll just leave it off. Because it was something like when the safety team come in and talk about Triffa. And the guy's throwing the shoe at him. But there is some stuff that I tell you what I've started doing now on LinkedIn to try and be, I call it safer. But I've got some clips with my dogs, you know, and like the dogs are trying to deliver the safety message and that sort of thing. And so that's kind of, and I've showed a few people and they're like, oh, that's cute, that's funny. So it's creating that connection. But mate, I always remember like in 2018, I was in Sydney and I had the honour to go and see Brené Brown.
Yeah.
And she talks about, back then she was talking about AI.
Yeah.
And she was like, AI's coming, AI will take some of your jobs, but what it won't do is replace connection, humour, those sort of things, authenticity.
Yeah.
AI's having a red hot crack at humour and comedy, I can tell you that. But I still don't think it's going to replace us as like,
no,
like different conversations like this.
No,
but that's something that's always stuck with me, mate, and that's why I've always sort of thought, right, how can I improve myself?
Yeah, I'd say something today. I think it was today when I was kind of doom scrolling, trying to unplug my brain for a minute earlier in the day. I think it was Mad TV. Did you see that? Have you seen that yet?
No.
You should check it out. It's a Mad TV cover talking about AI. And it's basically a hand with, it's just an artist drawn hand with, two middle fingers up, right? So there's an extra finger. And it's like, at least our artists can count how many fingers are on hands. I don't know that AI can get to that point of self-awareness, right? Where it's like, okay, I'm going to, as an artist, hand sketch this, paint this hand with six fingers, with double middle fingers up, given the FU to AI, right? I'm with you. I don't know that it can do that, right? Or that it ever will. I don't know that it has that level of human experience. Even if you're plugged into the full collective, I'm not to get too deep into the AI subject, I guess, which I think we should talk about it as a tool.
Yeah, it is an awesome resource. I do use it a lot, yeah.
But I don't know that. I've never been like the AI's coming for on. They took our jabs, right? I've never been, you know, the AI's coming for us kind of person. I think it's handy. I think it's useful. I think when you think about it in a business perspective, it can introduce a whole new unexplored bucket of risk, which I think is interesting because it's decision making models and all those different things that are plugged into everything that we touch nowadays, right? I mean, basically everything has some level of AI driven something. This program that we're using right now to record this, at the end of it, the clips that people will see will be completely constructed by AI, but I'll still go in there and it'll give me like one or two good ones, and then half of the cuts are gonna be like, why did you cut there, idiot?
Yeah.
Half of the cuts are gonna be like, why did you pick the most boring thing where Sam and Steve were talking about AI? Right? It's gonna pick the weirdest things, and then the subtitles, the captions are gonna be kind of weird. It's gonna be like, I didn't say meatloaf, I said, you know, cup of water. Like, this is ridiculous. Right? So I think it's a really useful tool, but I don't know that it ever. I've never seen something where I'm like, oh, wow, AI really generated a piece of something that resonated deeply with my soul. Right? It just doesn't. Well, I've not had that experience.
I think I might change your mind pretty soon. I'm not going to release it yet. I'm going to wait to, but obviously, I'm going to wait a few weeks.
Yep.
And I'm going to release this video that I've got, and it's going to be cool. And hopefully I'll change my mind. But can I say how I use AI
Before you do, I want to ask you a question, because I don't want you to say what that is. I want you to save, you know, the mystery for people out there. So if you're not following along with Steve, you better go follow, because something big's happened. He might completely blow my mind on AI and change it. But the follow up question to what you just said is, how much of that was still built on the back of your creativity and your prompts? And you stringing it together. So what I'm doing, Steve, is I'm bringing you right back to, it's still just a tool that without you, it wouldn't create anything that hits me in the guts, right?
Yeah, you're bang on. You're absolutely bang on. That's true. I mean, I use, like, it is my ideas, or I will build upon ideas. And maybe that's why I use AI stuff. Like, I kind of use ChatGPT and I'll put in like my values and all that sort of thing and
you
know, all that sort of stuff and what I like to do. And it's starting to replicate me.
I think to get into the point of it as a tool, I'll be really vulnerable with you and I'll share with you what I use my little AI for more than anything else. And it's usually a copy and paste followed by make this grammatically correct. That's usually what I use it for more than anything else. When I write a post and I'm feverishly writing and I'm like, da, 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 it's made me a horrific writer because it's like just horrible. It looks like a five-year-old wrote it, maybe a five-year-old chicken. Like it's horrible, right? And then I copy and paste it in there and it's exactly what I wrote, but it's just make it grammatically correct. And I'm like, oh, look smart. I look like I took an English class once or twice in my life.
Well, you're not alone there, mate. I still write like I'm a mechanic. In fact, if I was handwriting, they'd be like,
you gotta remember, stuff. Steve, I basically grew up in power plants. The only writing tool that I know how to use is a crayon, and it's not a sharp one at that, right? Like I just scribble with my crayons. It's
like, yeah, totally. Well, that's how you do your risk assessments and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, and that's
the thing.
Kids' menus, right? You get your risk assessment with a little pack of crayons with it.
Yeah. And mate, let's face it, the work that we do is sometimes ripe for fun and
absolutely.
And that's what I mean when we talk about this. What is it that binds us all together? What is the thing that frustrates us the most? And you'll find that it's like the take fives or knives or not being able to lift something or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's where the humor is, and that's where people should tap into, and that's where you can start to really build upon. I'm not saying create like crazy movies like what we do or anything like that, but you know, like, I mean, I made some notes to chat about, but even like, I done this thing once in the office where I asked the team to send me photos of the day of the life of them.
Yeah.
So they captures all these pictures, and then I plonked it into Canva. And I turned it into like a cartoon and I had like the speech bubbles and all that sort of stuff. And we delivered that on a call. We had this big national hookup and I thought, I'm taking a bit of a risk here. But the guy that sent me the photos, he was like, no, I want to do this. I really want to have a crack at this.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant, mate. It went down. I used the colours that don't normally get used on the colour palette. So you know how those colours that sit up the back of the colour palette? I use them. So that's another thing that you can do in Canva, by the way. It's like, I'm sure you know this, but for people who are listening, you can go in and put your colour palettes into your brand and then you can use it. And I was doing that and creating these little storyboards. And it was funny, after we delivered that comic in the day in the life of a terminal, everybody that jumped in afterwards is like, oh, how are we going to compete with that? Because it was just something different.
Well, there's just little things that you can do, right? I mean, I think back to, it was one of the shittiest safety jobs I ever had. And what I mean by shitty is the people were great on the sharp end, as with most safety jobs that I would put in the shitty bucket. It was everyone above in the organization I had to deal with. Basically acting as a shield, right, for all these boys of like, no, just stab me, don't stab them, right? Like that was one of those jobs. But the small piece of joy that I brought into that was I started on this thing, and excuse me, another one of my safety words off the list. I think I've got two left. Because I was like the safety person at this place, and I started doing this safety selfie thing. Right. And it had nothing to do with PPE. It had nothing to do. It was just me. Like when I was wandering around the field, there's just something a bit disarming when you just walk up somebody like, hey, let's take a selfie together. Right. And you just jump in and you take a selfie. And I had this huge collection of those. And then people would start texting and be like, hey, send me that selfie. And now they probably pass around like, look at this idiot. But if that's what it takes, like I'm cool with a little bit of a self-deprecating humor. Like I'm here for it. Right. Cool. But just that bit of a disarming moment of like, wait a second, safety guy's not talking about safety stuff. He whipped out his phone and wanted to take a selfie with me. And then once they realized, like, wait, like, you're not just like putting this in the safety newsletter, doing wacky stuff like this. We eventually did some stuff with it, you know, and but it was just something that I did. I think those little things that you can just bring some of that bit of creation, that bit of something different. It doesn't always have to be some big something, and it's usually not some big something.
No,
I'm not a believer that the best ideas are always simple ideas. That's not true, but a lot of them are. It's like whipping out your phone and taking a selfie, taking pictures with people and putting thought bubbles above them and using some wacky colors that people don't normally use that are going to draw their eye. Like, I don't know, man. I'm going to rant here a bit, but I really struggle. I really struggle when people tell me, especially in our kind of world, and not just safety, but I would just say kind of the prim and proper world of the businesses that we tend to operate in. People tell me all the time, like, I'm just not creative. No, I'm just not artistic. No, I don't have that something. And I've yet to meet a person that doesn't have some of that. Right. I think it might be different, and it's probably way different than how you and me express ourselves in these things. It might not be with the camera. It might not be with the paintbrush, but there's something. Whatever that thing is, like, lean into that. That's a strong skill and probably a bit of passion, and it might even make you smile a little bit. Right. Yeah, and you can probably use it at work. it's just lean into it.
I think that's where a lot of the fear comes from as well. I mean, people just like, oh, it's work. A lot of the time when I've done things, I didn't tell people I was doing them. I just done them.
That's what, yeah, same.
Like, I created...
I was very much an ask for forgiveness kind of employee.
Yeah, so I created... I produced it. There was... I was desperate to get frontline teams involved in some... like my conversations, right? And I just couldn't, and I was really struggling. So what I done is I created this little thing. I just sent them a Teams meeting and I gave them 3 questions. And I said, this meeting goes no longer than 3 or 5 minutes. And then what I would do is I would have an interview with them. I would say, hey, you know, tell me about your site, what you're doing, what are some of the things that you're talking about, you know, what are some of the challenges that you're facing? And then the last question, if you had $50,000, what would you spend it on?
Yeah.
And I tell you, so you see the goals that we got from this stuff.
Mm.
And then, so I just called it like the LPG TV, and I produced it and created it in Canva and then distributed it to everyone and said, there you go. And then people started talking about it.
Yeah.
And it gave the voice to the people on the front line, and I think they really appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it does. I think there's so many of those things that you can bring in. And to bring that back to some of the conversation we were just having about AI, and to broaden that a bit, just into the tools that are available for you to get creative are better than they've ever been. And they're only getting easier to use every single day. Like, the Canva was such a game changer.
Yes.
It made graphic design available to the masses in a very easy to use way, with built-in stock stuff that does not suck.
Yes.
I mean, just even down to editing short video clips and everything else. I mean, my God, what an awesome platform. We were talking about all these different AI tools like Opus Clip, if you're doing stuff like that. This thing that I'm using right now that we're recording on Riverside that does something similar. But even down to the AI that I tend to use, just because I'm cheap and I don't buy multiple memberships, I use Google for everything. So I have Gemini. Right. And so even just going in there and that, hey, give me a list of writing prompts because I need a place to start. Like, ask me 20 wacky questions that I can write funny stories about. Right. Whatever it is. I mean, those are just tools that make it easier to, in that case, put fingers to keyboard or pen to paper. Canva just makes it easier for you to get in there and express whatever that thing is that's in your head, you know, all those different things. And even the more pro level somethings are just easy to use, even down to this, like podcasting. I mean, there's just so many easy ways to do it. It's not the big thing. I had to laugh because I'd seen somebody, I don't know if it was LinkedIn or somewhere else, so if anybody gets mad at me for making fun of them, I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of you. It's just, it seems like a really bad idea. I saw somebody selling like an introductory package of, we'll help you start a podcast for the low, low price of $5,000. Yeah. And I had to restrain myself because back to this exact conversation, it's like, dude, you need no dollars. You literally need no dollars. No dollars to start a podcast. Yeah. It's like, I'm sure someone added that in there. Like, I think that business model was lost to time at least about 5 years ago. Years too late.
Yeah, I just use Teams, mate. I use Teams for a lot of time. Just recorded it and then put it on the
Teams is phenomenal. Inside of work, as you said, you know, we did that where I worked. You know, we would record interviews and all kinds of stuff just on Teams because I'm here, you're there. Let's just jump on Teams. We'll record something and boom, I can upload it to our Vimeo account or whatever we were using and send it out.
I have to sort of share this file that just popped into my brain. I don't know if you've ever used Kahoot. Kahoot's like I don't even know how to describe it, but you basically can load it up and you can do like multiple choice questions. Okay, you can use it for training. It is a brilliant tool. Now, a couple of years ago, in Australia, we have like Safe Work Month, which is traditionally always October. And they were looking for something to do, so I was like, I'm not doing campaigns. I'm not doing if I'm doing something, I'm doing something different. So I created like a safety music quiz, and it was just a play on words, mate. Yeah. And people loved it. And then at Origin, where I used to work, they said, "Well, what can we do?" And I said, "Well, I'll host a Kahoot quiz if we can, and we'll use like the safety policy. We'll use some of the stuff that we have around the place, you know, and we'll create a safety quiz from it." But I obviously threw in some music questions as well, because I did say to them, I'm not doing this if I can't put safety music questions in. But I tell you what, mate, it gets the feedback it gets is brilliant, you know. I'm hosting it and I'm putting a bit of energy through it and that sort of stuff. But still, it's even if you give it to people and say, "Hey, complete this quiz," it gets a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's just something a bit different. And I use ChatGPT sometimes to help inform the questions of that as well. So give me these questions.
We had done some, you know, not to that level, but we had done that where we had pushed. It wasn't forced. You could choose not to do it. but we had pushed out like you all, and it wasn't for a safety particular thing. It was for another thing we had going on, company I worked at. And we pushed it out instead of going to our internal designers and marketing people that all of our companies have that design all of our slick mandatory use PowerPoint slides and like all those things. We pushed out for our people to compete to make the videos basically for this thing. And so we ended up with like 8 teams across the company, and whatever resources you need from us, just let us know, but just go make something cool. And they basically created the kind of stuff that me and you create, Steve. Like, it was the coolest thing ever. People got to embrace that bit of creativity that they have. It's like, you need access to all the stuff that the marketing team uses. You got it. You need a camera. You got it. Whatever you need. You need us to send the corporate film crew to help. You got it. Just bring it to life. And they made some of the coolest things ever. And we made a big deal out of it. It made it into almost like a dinner, right? We had like a little gala afterwards where they got to debut their films, right? And it was cool. They all show up in like tuxes, like red carpet, like it's a movie premiere, you know. You know, I think there's this quote that I've been kicking around for years, man, and I don't we've lost sight of this, I think, somewhere along the way, but the stuff that works outside of work works at work too. And there's this thing I've been saying that for years, and I'm going to keep saying it. There's a couple quotes that are like my back pocket quotes. That's one of them. The other one that I don't know that we need to say it here, but I have to say it because anytime I get a chance to say it, I say it. Leaders are people too. I think that's a thing we have to say. But I don't know, man. We feel like when we get into our corporate towers, when we get to that plant or to that factory, then all of a sudden it's completely different. Like, people aren't people anymore. They're employees.
Yeah.
You know, John, Bob, Jane Doe. As soon as they walk through that gate, they become robots, right? Come on. Like, the way people interact with each other, the way people onboard information, the things that they find to be valuable to them, the way that they discover information, the way that they like to find information and discover information, what that process looks like, all of those things, it just feels like we should mirror more of our work world to feel like not our work world, right? Yeah, it feels like we should be like, what do I do? Like, I don't know how to do that thing. You're a mechanic, Steve. I'm not. When I get out here trying to fix something on my old car, I don't pull out the old guidebooks anymore. I've got one in the back. I don't pull those things out. I go straight to YouTube because someone's made a probably a really good and at least a little funny video about the problem that I'm having and how to fix it. When I don't know how to edit my video or to color correct a video in Premiere, I just go straight to YouTube, or I go, you know, if I want to learn, I go to Wikipedia. I go, we get to work though. And we're like, nope, here's your piece of paper and enjoy.
Yeah,
mate. And even the way we talk with each other, the way we present, the way we, it's like we just have to get the buttons up and put on that that corporate persona and be like, nope, I'm going to interact with you like this is the like a letter from the government or something. Like, come on.
I suppose, stay away. I suppose just before we sort of finish up our chat, I was just what you said there about we give everybody paperwork. We give everybody the same checklist. We give everyone the same procedure, right? And we learn differently. I remember I got to see a comedy show and people were howling, laughing at this guy. And I was like, this guy's terrible. This guy's rubbish. And then other people were laughing. And it really dawned on me, you know, everybody's thinking preferences are different. Everybody has a different way of bringing, of what they find funny, what they listen to, you know, like all that stuff. But in the workplace, we give them the same, here you go.
Yeah.
And how can we make that? How can we make work better, Sam? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, to get us towards the end here, to put a little carry on top of our little ice cream sundae of creativity, I guess. I'm gonna kick you a question, and then I'm not gonna be unfair though, because I'm just spitballing this, and then I'm gonna kick the question back to me too. So, but I'm gonna make you go first because. It's my show, and I'm going to cheat.
Okay.
But
you're going to steal my answer, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm going to cheat because then I'm going to get to hear you do it first.
And also, you could have bloody prompt me with some of your questions.
I wing these things, Steve. I winged them since the beginning, and that's not changing now. But the question is this, and it's really for anybody out there listening to this that made it all the way through us in our rantings about creativity and creation and inspiration and all those different things. What are three things that you would share with folks out there that whether they're a self-described creator or artist or the opposite of that, what are three things that you would share with them to help them to get a bit more creative in their day-to-day life, whether that's at work or outside of work, or for the more creative folks, to help them create more? What would be the three things that you would share?
Right. Okay. Listen for the pain. Where you hear pain points in the office, you start making notes of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's where the humor is. That's where the connection is. Number two, get yourself a notepad. Mm. And as soon as that idea comes in your head, you get it down. And if you don't use a notepad, like I don't, I use this.
Same.
That's... just you can talk it to it, you can do whatever, just write it in there. So that's number two. And number three, get yourself a Canva account. Mm-hmm. And there's so much inspiration on there. And use Pinterest, you know, like follow some of these meme sites on Instagram. Sam and I kind of follow, I think we follow the same people, mate, because I see you liking a lot of these posts.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times I get my inspiration, I'll see something and I think, oh, I'm going to build up on that. I'm going to actually build upon those ideas. So I'll see somebody post something and it might not even be funny, but I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like I like the Top of the Safety Cop stuff that I do.
Yeah.
You know, you just create, and that started off with me just putting some pictures on a meme and now I've turned that into videos, right?
Yeah.
So it's just start shit. There's number four for you. Just have a crack.
I love it, man. So I'm going to try to squeeze out three. I'm going to try my best here. I think the first thing that I would share with folks is something that I started doing probably about a year ago. It was one of those dumb New Year's resolution things, and they're almost always dumb, right? Because we never do them. There wouldn't be resolutions every year. But I had this moment where I'm like, man, like, I really need to get more out there. Like, I've got these ideas. We're talking so much about this, of like these ideas, and I'm not doing anything with them, and I need to do this. And some of that's busy, right? A lot of that has to do with busy. Unfortunately, the more that the business side of our life or the work side of our life takes over, it feels like at least that that creative side depletes somewhat. There's a whole nother side story that I discovered. I don't think that's all that true. But the goal that I set for myself was that I will create something every single day. So that's tip number one, is create something, engage in the creative act, to steal Rick Rubin's book title, but engage with it every day. And I'm going to tie this into another book called The War of Art, right? And if you've never read The War of Art, I think it's by Stephen Pressfield. It's a great book. And he talks about like the muse and like this thing. But really, if you get through this little thin book, the real point here is that if you're not sitting down prepared to do the work, the work's never going to get done. If you're going to write, you need to be sitting down in a place to write. You need to carve out deliberate time every single day to write or to create a video or to paint something or to draw something. And so with my goal, I know this is a long answer, but with my goal, that goal of create something every day, there were no, I put no stipulations on it. How artistic of me, right? Create anything, something, doesn't matter. If it's writing one word on a post-it note and that is your creation, that is your creation. If it's painting a picture, if it's making a video, if it's whatever that is, if I'm traveling and giving a presentation somewhere, if it's saying I'm scrapping everything that I normally say about that, and I'm going to freeball it on this answer. I'm going to approach this from a completely different way, and I'm going to try this line out, and I might fall flat on my face. That it doesn't matter. I'm engaging with the creative act. So number one is create something every day. Take that risk of creation every single day, big or small. And I'm going to tie that into the second part of that answer, is that carve out time deliberately to do that. You have to show up with that mindset of I'm going to do something. So don't just wait for the muse to come to you. Like, sit down, because that's the thing that I hear from a lot of folks. It's like, yeah, but I don't have any ideas, or I don't know how to get started. Just sit down and stare at that Word document on your computer, or stare at that Canva page. Something will happen. The muse will find you. They will come to you. Yeah. And the last
the creative angels will.
Yeah. The muse isn't coming unless you're calling its name. Like, it's not just going to show up for no reason. Right. And guess what? The best place to, for the muse to find you, and if you're trying to do graphic design, is probably Canva. Sponsor is Canva. That would be cool. but last I want to share the thing about, sharing your creation, right? Share it. Don't be shy. The world needs more people being just unapologetically bold and fearless and sharing stuff, even when they know people are going to judge it, even when they know people are going to try to shoot it down. You know, just share it. Just, to me, I always, the thing that plays in the back of my mind, back to our conversation earlier, is just go full send. Like, don't hesitate. If you're sitting there thinking like, oh man, this might step on some nerves, you're onto something.
Yeah.
That's the entire point. That's the entire point.
Right? That's advice I should be taking more of.
Me too. I mean, that's what I said. I'm not in a position to give advice, just hard lessons that I'm still trying to learn. Yeah. But if you said, this is a pain point. Ooh, this might ruffle some feathers. Ooh, this, you have discovered art. you are in the right spot, because anything that has ever been worth the canvas that it's painted on, the film that it's recorded on, the hard drive that it's recorded on, the Canva page that it was placed upon, anything that's ever been worth the time and effort and the materials that were used to construct it, it evoked emotion. Whether hate, love, laughter, it hit people in their gut one way or the other. And that's how you know you're on something. So don't be afraid to just share it with the world. People are going to shit on it. People are going to say, look at that idiot, Steve. Of course they are. Of course they are. And what you got to do is just going to say, who cares? I created it. You didn't. It's out there. I love it. It's mine. I love it. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Those are three really long-winded answers.
No, but I like it. I like it a lot. Well, so there's a call to action for everybody. Get in there, bloody create, and then tag me and Sam, and let's see what you're doing.
Tag us. We need more cool things, especially my last one. I'm going to use it in the world of safety and beyond. That sounds like a, it's like a Star Wars movie, right? In the world of safety and beyond, on. But yeah, we need, there people, we need more cool stuff. Not, we definitely can't use less of it. We need more of it. And so be vulnerable, share that stuff. And I think people would be surprised with the, how much it actually impacts people in a positive way.
I agree.
Love it, man. Well, thanks for being here, Steve.
No, no, my pleasure, mate. Thank
you're
you.
You're my hero, dude.
Thank you. No, no, mate. You're my hero, mate.
Look at that.
Apart from that dodgy egg thing.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. That was an awesome episode with the one and only Stephen Harvey. If you need a hand on your hop journey, you know how to get a hold of me, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Follow along on all things social media. Facebook. I think I've got a Facebook. I think so. Definitely on LinkedIn, YouTube, Insta. See y'all next time.